Okay, good. Now, we already read our text in John chapter 21. You can turn to that again. Someone wrote these humorous words. We used something like this for Mother's Day, but we're going to use this also for Father's Day. These are words that many dads have said at some time or another to their children. So let's look at a couple of those today, okay? First of all, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. All right, some of you remember that. Bring back all the change. Yeah, I heard my dad say that already. Some of you are laughing. You went through the same thing. How should I know? Ask your mother. All right. I'm not made out of money. When I was your age, I walked five miles to and from school each day, and it was uphill both ways. You're going, and you will have fun. Remember that one? Yeah. Who's paying the bills around here anyway? I wasn't asleep. I was just resting my eyes. What are you shaking your head about, huh? If you break your leg, don't come running to me. Don't put your feet on the furniture. Your mother will kill you. Get down before you kill yourself. On second thought, go ahead. Quit playing with your food. Be quiet. Can't you see I'm trying to think? Why? Because I said so. If you don't quit that, I'm going to call your mother. You better get that junk picked up before your mom gets home. Just wait till you have kids of your own. We've all heard that one, I'm sure. Now, Dad seems to give advice a fair amount of time, but do we take it well? Now, I want us to think today, yes, Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is referred to and refers to himself as our friend. But you realize Jesus, who is God, is our Father, our Heavenly Father. And that's what we want to look at today as we go through this little study. Do we listen when someone tells us what to do or how to do it? Sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. I guess we should ask ourselves at times, why are we so unteachable? Many of us, some of us have to think back further than some that sit here today, but when you become a teenager, maybe 13, 14, 15, I don't know if you went through this or not, but I knew more than my parents could ever imagine. I knew more than they did. And of course, I found out many times that I didn't know more than they did. And I should have listened to their advice many more times than what I did. So today is Father's Day, and we're going to look at an interesting fishing story. My dad took me fishing. I don't know about you, but he had a lot more patience for fishing than I did. But we would go, and I know many of you enjoy fishing. In fact, Facebook lets me know just how much some of you do love fishing, and that's okay. Me, I'd like to go there and throw my line in and catch three or four of them all at one time, and they're the biggest ones you ever saw, and go on home. That's my fishing story, but some of you have the patience for it, and thank God for that. In this story that we read today at the end of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 21, this is, I believe, the seventh appearance of Jesus after his resurrection. And verse 14 tells us the third time he appeared to disciples as a group. This is the third time he appeared to them as a group. The wording of verse 1 tells us that he not only just appeared, but he showed himself. Now that's important. He showed himself. He showed who he was. I believe in this instance, he showed the disciples and us through this story and through his word. He showed us his character. I believe he showed us his love, a deep love. And I think also he showed us his forgiveness. Aren't you glad that our Heavenly Father forgives us? Because we fail so many times. Jesus wants to show up in your life, and he wants to be more than just a story. Now, this was a true story, but he wants to be more than just a story. He wants to show himself real to you because he is real. We haven't seen him yet. We've seen glimpses of him through his word. And we know from God's word that one day we're going to see him face to face. And that's going to be a glorious time to meet him in the air. That could happen today. We could hear that trump of God and go to meet him in the air. Now let's picture what the disciples were thinking and feeling right about now. Jesus had risen from the dead and had shown himself. He had given them orders to make other disciples all around the world. But he obviously wasn't with them 24 hours a day like he was when he was with them for three and a half years. That's the way it was before his death. They probably at this time felt a little lost. You know, the same can be said of us. Sometimes we might feel a little lost. We've never seen him. They did at one time. But without getting too carried away or you thinking I'm a charismatic, there are times that I think he's pretty close. And although I don't literally feel him, it's almost like I can feel his arm around me at times. Or maybe just touching my arm and bringing me peace and quiet at some difficult and hard times. So what did the disciples do? They went back to what they knew, what they were familiar with. If not all of the men that were gathered at this particular time were fishermen, many of them were. And they went back to what they were comfortable with, fishing. And you know, we, in times of crisis or uncertainty, we all kind of want to cling to a safety net. And they're different for everybody. We all want to feel in control of our circumstances. And we retreat sometimes into what we call our safe place. We all have had them at one time or another. Another reason the seven were out fishing, really, they needed to earn a living, didn't they? And that's what they knew. They knew how to fish. While they were with Jesus, they survived on what people gave them when they were in the ministry with Jesus. Now that Jesus had gone, they had to support themselves and their families again. Fishing, that would do it. Now, the desire that we said can come to any and all of us when things get rough isn't always totally wrong. The desire to eat and to provide for their family certainly wasn't wrong. They had to do that. But these guys had been called not to fish for fish anymore. but to fish for men. Fish for men. Jesus had given them a new purpose in life. They were not just running from, can we say, uncertainty. They were running from obedience. Sometimes we fail there too. God tells us something. He wants us to obey him, and we don't always do it. They were called to trust him. They experienced it. Three and a half years. Imagine. When they were first called, it said they left all and they followed him. And he not only supplied his needs, he supplied their needs. And they experienced, they saw it. Can you imagine what should have come to their mind? How, my goodness, he fed 5,000 plus with the meal of a little boy. But yet we sometimes allow circumstances and things around us to kind of discourage us. And sometimes that discouragement causes us to disobey what God has told us to do. And we forget he can take care of us, and he will. They were called just like you and I are called to trust him. Trust him emotionally, physically, and financially. That's what they were called to do. There might be somebody that's sitting here today, you're running and hiding from God and from what God wants you to do. I don't know your heart. He does. Oh, maybe it's not a call into the ministry. And then again, maybe it is. And Jesus is still asking us, just like he did the disciples, to step up to the plate and follow him. We can see a couple of truths in this study today. And by the way, you'll see in my study today, I used two fathers, which Mary Ann and I know very well, my dad and her dad. That'll add to our study today. And so the first thing I want to point out to you is this. It's wonderful to see Jesus show himself to a bunch of disobedient witnesses. They weren't obeying him. Sometimes we've disobeyed our parents too, and boy, we paid the consequences for it. In verse 5, if you recall and look at it again, then Jesus saith unto them, what's the next word? Children. Children. Not because they were childlike, but childish. They were being immature, and many times we are immature instead of obeying and following our Heavenly Father. And even though they were disobedient, Jesus didn't say, all right, I'm done with them. I'm just going to walk away and forget it. Let them go. Let them alone. No, he didn't. He showed up. He showed up. Why? Because of his character, because of his love, because of his great forgiveness. That's Jesus. Now, I have to admit something to you. As a pastor, I find myself at times struggling with some things about people. Loving people who should know better but don't. And I might have told them 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 times, don't do that. You're going to get you into trouble. Well, we know many of us who have studied the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how many times Jesus didn't throw up his hands and walked away, but not only with the disciples did he have love and compassion and concern, but even with the people around him. You gotta love people. And although sometimes as a pastor you wonder, how many times I gotta tell them? Well, then it's when the Lord taps me on the shoulder and says, remember how many times I told you in the past some things? It makes things look different. So these disciples, I guess you could say, childish. Christians who are childish and immature can happen to us too. And you can see Jesus' example here. He loved them anyway. He loved them anyway. And then you come to number two in our study today. Running from Jesus' call leads to frustration. Running from Jesus' call leads to frustration. Verse 3 says, they fished all night and they caught nothing. A little bit hard to make a living for you and your family if you can't even catch fish. And like we said before, these guys, or most of them anyway, were experienced fishermen. They knew how to fish. And to fish all night, throwing the net into the water, tightening the rope and drawing the net together and pulling it up, that was hard work. A little bit different than just throwing that line out there. This was a different way of fishing. No fish in the net. A lot of work. Throwing it out again, pulling it back in, no fish. Now, maybe some are sitting here today and God is asking you to do something. Maybe it's simple as asking forgiveness or giving forgiveness or committing yourself to Him every day. Or turning from an action or an attitude that you know is wrong. He told you more than once about it. Or to do something out of love for someone else. Or maybe even as simple as coming to prayer meeting on a Wednesday night. Or just say, here am I, I'm yours, Lord. Use me any way you want. Use me, I'm yours. Take me, cleanse me, use me to bring honor and glory to yourself. If God is asking you to do anything and you're not doing it, I guarantee you, your life will lead to frustration, especially if he asks you to do it. You're going to work and you're going to see no results. You're going to try and you're still going to come up empty because you're not where he wants you to be and not doing what he asks you to do. You're going to search for fulfillment in your job and come up dry. You're going to lay your head on a pillow and ask if it all matters. You're going to ask, anybody even going to remember me in 100 years? No matter what your reasons, running from what God wants you to do will lead you to empty nets. Empty nets. So as the morning broke and the disciples were on their way back to shore, I'm sure they were feeling a little down and discouraged and wonder what in the world's going on, Jesus showed up. He called to them. I can hear it now. I can see it now. Hey, fellas, you haven't caught anything, have you? Whoa, that would get your attention. It was almost like a tease, reminding them of how poorly they were doing. Not too good at all. Didn't say anything. I guess maybe their heads were held down. And just a simple no. They didn't recognize him at first. It could be that their spiritual eyes weren't open at that point. Or it could be he was 300 feet away and he couldn't recognize who it was. It could have been that simple too. At any rate, this man on the shore, who they didn't know who it was, hollered to them. Now remember, they just got done all night fishing. And he hollers some advice to them. These guys who fished all their lives, they knew how to fish. This was just a bad day. He hollers to them, switch sides on the boat. I can just imagine the looks. Switch sides on the boat? What a stupid suggestion might have been running through their brains. I don't know. We know how to fish. They didn't need some so-called expert. We don't even know who it is. From the shore telling us how to do our job. But they did it anyway. And they began to catch fish. You know, there's some things that are interesting in the scripture. Now, sometimes when we read it, we ask questions like, why did God show us that they caught 153 fish? What does that mean? Now, don't go too deep with that. You go crazy. And we don't know why, but it turns out they caught exactly 153 large fish. The question would be, well, why do you even count it? Just be happy you caught fish, you know? Maybe they counted it because they wanted to brag about it later. I don't know. Why that number? We don't know. I guess I can tell you, when you get to heaven, maybe you could ask Jesus or ask Peter why they counted the fish and why there was 153. Not that it'll matter anymore anyway. Of course, they had John with them, and maybe he just wanted to, one of those guys that paid attention to details. Whatever the case, Jesus' advice, although at the time to these fishermen sounded silly, worked. And sometimes when Jesus tells you to do something and it sounds silly, remember this story. Sometimes it works. Now make sure it's coming from Jesus that's telling you. Jesus' words can turn your frustration into fulfillment. It never fails. Jesus will bless you even more than you already are if you take his word to heart That's why it's so important. When you're having an issue to deal with, a problem, go to God's word. Go to him in prayer and then go to his word. Many, many times, that's where we find our answers, in God's word. Number three, sometimes following Jesus' command sounds odd. Kind of addressed that a little bit already. Sometimes what Jesus tells us to do doesn't make sense. Let me give you an example from the Bible and tell me if this would make sense to you if he told you to do this. March around a city walls to destroy them. March around the walls, and then especially when you know the walls were so wide that they used to race chariots around the top of them. And we're just going to walk around this wall and it's going to fall down? Yeah, right, Jesus. But it happened. We read about it. It's not a fairy tale. It happened. They walked around and the walls fell down. Who told them it would? God. Those little pea brains. Did they think it would work? Maybe not, but they obeyed God and it worked. Amen? It worked. How about this one? Turning the other cheek. Turning the other cheek. How about this one? Loving those that hate you? What? I remember an evangelist just came to mind now. His home with the Lord. He had an evangelistic service and he went to this church and he would go for a drive every now and then and he saw this shack up on a hill. And it just raised his curiosity. So he asked the pastor when he got back, he says, who lives up there? So, you don't want to go there. We've attempted to go talk to that man for years. He'll shoot you. You go up there. I mean, that's how crazy he is. He don't want nothing to do with anybody. Well, the evangelist was nuts in the first place. So he decided after he prayed to the Lord and he felt the Lord was giving him direction, he went by himself up to the house. And sure enough, he was greeted at the door with a double-barrel shotgun. And to make a long story short, as it progressed and it took more than one day, the man who nobody wanted to go near got saved. And what a difference he made in the community. And what a difference the people saw in his life after Jesus changed him and got a hold of him. Maybe God's even calling you to go to talk to somebody that they already warned you to. Don't go near him. You don't want to hear anything about God. Well, talk to the Lord about it, and if he gives you that assurance you should, then don't worry about what other people say. Do what God asks you to do, even when his command sounds odd. Well, this whole thing, this story here in John chapter 21, kind of reminds the disciples of something that happened probably 3 years earlier. And you can read about that, and it's recorded in Luke chapter 5. Much the same kind of a scenario. When Jesus had given a huge catch of fish to the disciples. And now back to our story. They all landed. And here's Jesus now. But he has a fire going. This was, he was making a meal for them. Toast and fried fish. And so why did Jesus tell them in verse 10 to bring some of their fish? He already had some for them. I think it was to be a lesson of trust. A lesson of trust for them and for us. Where did he get the fish? Another question we could ask you when you get there. Jesus showed himself to be self-sufficient. Do you know what? Now think about this. He can perform miracles. He doesn't need you. But he wants to use you. Think about it. People say, boy, wouldn't it been great if after we got saved, God would take us home to be with him immediately. Wouldn't that have been great? That would have been great, wouldn't it? But that's not the way he has chosen. He has left us here after we're saved for a purpose. Some of you already know one or two or three or four purposes that he kept you here for. Some of you had the opportunity to reach out to others and see them come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Other ones he has used to help you to teach others through your example. And you can't take any credit for it because Jesus is the one who taught you in the first place. He wants to use us. He wants to use us. Not to bring glory to ourselves. 153 fish. Wow, aren't we great? No, I couldn't say that. But he wants to use us to bring honor and glory to himself. And he wants to use you in a special way. If you haven't found out already how it is, find out and let him use you. And obey him. It doesn't matter if the other people say, boy, you are crazy if you think you could do that. If God called you to do it, you can do it. And he wants to use you. And he'll help you along the way. God wants us to be part of his plan. You know, when I was putting these pictures together, a lot of things ran through my mind about my dad and about my father-in-law. Now, on the last picture that's up there, my dad injured his back when he was working for Spangler's Mill. That's over in Camp Hill. It used to be. He injured it bad. But he never kept... That never stopped him from doing things that maybe even the doctors told him not to do anymore. But he figured with God's help, he could handle it. He's sitting on a big snowbank right there at Fort Hunter. You know who did most of that shoveling? And that was a deep snow that year. You know who did most of the shoveling? And while he's sitting there with a big grin on his face, he did it. You see that crazy father-in-law of mine backing up a farm-all tractor on a trailer on two planks that look like they're going to break at any moment. By the way, at the farm sale, they weren't selling the planks, but I went to the barn. I don't know if my wife knew I did this or not. Those two planks that are laying there, those are the two planks I took to the house to remember him by. I could tell you stories about those two men, how they influenced our lives and lives of others because they trusted God. And even when it sounded odd that it couldn't be done, and people told them it can't be done, they did it with God's help. Our Heavenly Father wants to use us in His plans. Are you willing to listen to Him and follow Him and watch Him do things in your life that people couldn't even dream about doing? I think I'm going to close with a story about your dad. I can't. This comes to mind. He was living on a farm. He farmed it for quite a while. He wanted to buy it. The landlord he was renting from told him there's no way he could afford to buy that, if I have the story correct. So John Kilmer decided he going to buy that farm. Prayed about it and got some advice. Then he figured out that really didn't think the man that owned it really wanted him to own it. So he called a buddy to come and said, now, when I bid and they don't recognize my bid anymore, I'm going to give you a signal and you bid. And that's exactly what happened. The auctioneer would not recognize my father-in-law anymore when he was bidding. So his friend that was there started, after he got the signal, to bid. And he won the bid for the farm. And the auctioneer says, okay, and sir, can you give me your name since you bought the farm? He says, I have made the bid for John David Kilmer. And John David Kilmer and Rhoda and the kids lived on a beautiful farm for 60-some years. You think things are impossible? Go to God for some advice and make some plans and see what you and God can do together. You'll be surprised. Now, maybe you sit here today, you don't know for sure if you died right now, you'd even go to heaven. Or maybe there's something in your life that's keeping you from receiving Christ as your Savior. Maybe you say, I'll do that later. You may not have later. No guarantee in another hour or another day. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, this would be the best day to do it right now. And after the church service, either come up and talk to me so that I can show you or have someone show you from God's Word how you can know today you have eternal life and you will spend eternity with Jesus. Many of you already have made that decision. I don't know everybody's heart. If you haven't, now would be the good day to do it. And get in on the plan that God has for your life. Watch Him bless and use you. Let's pray.